I'd like mostly, I guess, to be reading poems from Kicking the Leaves. And a number of the poems are kind of long, so I want to separate the long ones with shorter ones, different ones. I am going to read some new poems, poems that are probably not quite finished, but I think finished enough to read. But first, now, I want to read the title poem from Kicking the Leaves, called, oddly enough, Kicking the Leaves. It's a poem in, I always have to look, it's a poem in seven parts. And this is a poem that began, what now, 4 years ago? No, 5 years ago, this autumn. There are dates and ages in it, including my own, all of which are 5 years off now. It began 5 years ago in Ann Arbor, in my last year in Ann Arbor, when I knew that the following summer I was going back to New Hampshire, to the farm. And I guess that that knowledge started me thinking about places where I had lived. The poem is full of place names, towns. It is a farewell to Ann Arbor in part and a going to New Hampshire. I'm going to wait a second until you can sit, if you can, if you want to. Kicking the Leaves. Kicking the leaves, October, as we walk home together from the game in Ann Arbor. On a day the color of soot, rain in the air, I kick at the leaves of maples. Reds of 70 different shades, yellow like old paper. And poplar leaves, fragile and pale, and elm leaves, flags of a doomed race. I kick at the leaves, making a sound I remember as the leaves swirl upward from my boot and flutter. And I remember October's walking to school in Connecticut, wearing corduroy knickers that swished with a sound like leaves. And a Sunday buying a cup of cider on a roadside stand on a dirt road in New Hampshire, and kicking the leaves, autumn 1955 in Massachusetts, knowing my father would die when the leaves were gone. Two. Each fall in New Hampshire, on the farm where my mother grew up, a girl in the country, my grandfather and grandmother finished the autumn work, taking the last vegetables in from the cold fields, canning, storing roots and vegetables in the cellar under the kitchen. Then my grandfather raked leaves against the house as the final chore of autumn. One November, I drove up from college to see them. We pulled big rakes as we did when we hayed in summer, pulling the leaves against the granite foundations around the house on every side of the house. And then, to keep them in place, we cut spruce boughs and laid them across the leaves, green on red, until the house was tucked up, ready for snow that would freeze the leaves in tight like a stiff skirt. Then we puffed through the shed door, taking off boots and overcoats, slapping our hands, and sat in the kitchen, rocking, and drank black coffee my grandmother made, three of us sitting together, silent, in gray November. We still do it, by the way. The leaves are around the house right now. Part three. One Saturday when I was little, before the war, my father came home at noon from his half day at the office, and wore his bait sweater, black on red, with the crossed hockey sticks on it, and raked beside me in the backyard, and tumbled in the leaves with me, laughing, and carried me, laughing, my hair full of leaves, to the kitchen window, where my mother could see us, and smile, and motion to set me down, afraid I would fall and be hurt. Four. Kicking the leaves today as we walk home together from the game, among crowds of people with their bright pennants, as many and bright as leaves. My daughter's hair is the red-yellow color of birch leaves, and she is tall like a birch, growing up, 15, growing older. And my son, flamboyant as maple, 20, visits from college and walks ahead of us, his step springing, impatient to travel the woods of the earth. Now I watch them from a pile of leaves beside this clapboard house in Ann Arbor, across from the school where they learn to read, as their shapes grow small with distance, waving, And I know that I diminish, not them, as I go first into the leaves, taking the step they will follow Octobers and years from now. 5. This year the poems came back when the leaves fell. Kicking the leaves, I heard the leaves tell stories, remembering and therefore looking ahead and building the house of dying. I looked up into the maples and found them, the vowels of bright desire. I thought they had gone forever, while the bird sang, I love you, and shook its black head from side to side, and its red eye with no lid, through years of winter, cold as the taste of chicken wire, the music of cinder block. 6. Kicking the leaves, I uncover the lids of graves. My grandfather died at 77 in March when the sap was running. And I remember my father, 20 years ago, coughing himself to death at 52 in the house in the suburbs. Oh, how we flung leaves in the air, how they tumbled and fluttered around us like slowly cascading water when we walked together in Hamden before the war. When Johnson's Pond had not surrendered to houses, the two of us hand in hand, and in the wet air, the smell of leaves burning. And in 6 years, I will be 52. 7. Now I fall, now I leap and fall, to feel the leaves crush under my body, to feel my body buoyant in the ocean of leaves, the night of them, night heaving like death and leaves, rocking like the ocean. Oh, this delicious falling into the arms of leaves, into the soft laps of leaves. Face down, I swim into the leaves, feathery, breathing the acrid odor of maple, swooping in long glides to the bottom of October, where the farm lies curled against winter, and soup steams its breath of onion and carrot onto damp curtains and windows. And past the windows, I see the tall, bare maple trunks and branches, the oak with its few brown, weathery remnant leaves, and the spruce trees holding their green. Now I leap and fall, exultant, recovering from death on account of death, in accord with the dead, the smell and taste of leaves again, and the pleasure, the only long pleasure, of taking a place in the story of leaves.